Welcome, my friends. I'm Dave Champion. This is my co-host, Bill Carnes, and together we are
totally unprepared.
Well,
we are actually unprepared right now because how are we opening the show?
I think we have to talk. We don't want to talk about it, but I think we have to talk about Super Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Seven states?
Yes.
The, I'm sorry, 11 states. The one Republican won 7 of the 11. One Democrat won 7 of the 11.
Yep.
Yeah, so Hillary won 7, Bernie won 4.
Yep.
Trump won 7, Cruz won 3, Rubio won a single state, which was Minnesota, interesting enough. The same state.
That was bizarre.
If memory serves correct, the only state that Reagan didn't win in 84, the same state that elected Jesse Ventura as governor.
Yeah.
So.
Weird.
I don't know what the hell's going on up
right.
in Minnesota.
Jesse Ventura could not be more anti-establishment, and Rubio is the very picture of establishment GOP.
Yeah, well.
You know,
Punxsutawney Phil says it's going to be an early spring. Maybe they think better when it's cold. I don't know.
You know, my thing is, it seems to indicate, I mean, I know that it's not over till it's over, but it seems to indicate that when we get down to the general election, it's going to be Hillary and Trump.
That's the way it's looking now. Carson came out, just as a matter of fact, before we came to film this show, that he's not going to participate in Thursday night's debate in Detroit, which is his hometown, that he doesn't see any hopes for his campaign, but yet he's not actually officially suspending, but he's in actuality suspending.
Yes.
Through actions. And then you got Rubio, who really doesn't have a chance either. He's won one state out of the, I think, 15 so far. He's won one. He doesn't have a statistical chance. In Kasich, same thing. Kasich hasn't won anything. He's holding out to hope he wins Ohio, but Trump's outpolling him left and right. So really what you've got is you've got two guys that are leading, Trump and Cruz. Neither one of them are insiders. I mean, Cruz has been in office since, I think, 12. So only 4 years, 3 years, really, 3.5 years. And he's leading with the more so maverick-ish mainstream Republicans, like the more conservative-leaning wing.
Maverick mainstream, okay.
Well, I should say the Republicans who vote often.
Okay.
The super voters, the inveterate voters, if you will, who are unhappy with the establishment, are tending to support Cruz.
Okay.
Some of them are supporting Trump, but Trump has really done an amazing job at getting people who aren't regular voters, who don't traditionally vote,
right,
to either sign up and become Republican so they can vote, or to get off their butts and actually exercise their voting rights.
And there's actually some, I understand it, some Democrats that have re-registered as Republicans to vote for Trump, and some independents that have re-registered as
Republicans. Nonpartisan, yeah, all of them.
Yeah, very good. Did you do that? The station owner.
We'd like to invite our station owner, Bernie, to come in and say hi. If he's going to stand there looking at him, may as well pop his head in here and say hello.
I'm talking about Trump.
This is Vern Van Winkle.
I had to listen to what you're doing here. So
remember, any negative emails goes to him.
here's my take on the whole thing. It's like you got a problem to fix. Okay, so we have a problem to fix, and there's no one person that can fix the whole problem.
There's not just one problem either.
There's not. So let's bring Trump in to clean up the financial stability of the country.
Isn't that Congress's job?
Congress doesn't know what they're doing right now.
Oh, but yeah, they do. They're perpetrating the problem from 1913.
Well, exactly what I meant.
Yeah.
Okay, and, you know, and then so everybody loves the Cruz guy for he's the Constitution, he's this. So put him as the VP. You know, let him be the mother of the country, and let Trump be the father of the economics and building small businesses and trades within the country and getting us back to being a great country.
You know,
and
he's
of course,
doing a Trump commercial on our show.
But of course, you know what's happening after Super Tuesday, you had Trump giving a speech. Instead of having his family behind him, he had Chris Christie looking strange as could possibly be back there. Christie is positioning himself to either be a VP candidate or probably more so Attorney General.
He always looks like he needs another box of donuts. That's what
he looks to me like he needs a really, really severe industrial size enema.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
The guy is a
sick. That needs a colon hydrotherapy delivered by a fire hose, if I've ever seen a guy that needed that.
Yeah,
But anyhow, that's what we seem to be looking at. Yeah.
So let's talk about this other thing.
Now, let me guess. Is this going to be a cop thing?
It could be. It's possible. And, you know, I don't mean to be a one-trick.
I'm not going
to
say no.
Right. I know you're not. You know, and we don't want this. I'd actually consider not bringing this to your attention when we met for lunch today. Because
the thing is, I was already aware of this.
I know you were.
Yeah.
Because I don't want the show to be construed as a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, I also think that the American public is not really cognizant of what our law enforcement is doing all too often. And I think there's a lot of cognitive dissonance. You know, the public, if you say, you know, good cop, they're, yay! And you say bad cop, and they're like, it's like, no. There are cops doing their job correctly. We know some of them, right? And there's a whole lot of them doing it wrong. And I think the only way that we can resolve the problems in law enforcement is for society on the whole, not just a few activists, for everybody to understand what the hell is going on out there. And fortunately, we're in the video age, so now the things are no longer subjective. So you and I saw this.
Yeah, and we get to these things virtually every show.
Yeah.
But the thing is they are so egregious, the things that we talk about, that they are newsworthy. It's not that we're out looking, okay, where did the cops screw up? And you and I go searching for these things.
These come to us.
These are viral things that come to us. And when we see it from having been on the job and not on the job, I mean, we really see what's going on. But let's cue this up. Let's see this video so you know what we're talking about here. Looks like a car.
Surely this is every expectant father's nightmare. His wife is in the car screaming with labor pains. James and Dana Reiner were racing to hospital at 1 a.m. when a patrol car tried to pull them over.
I said, James, we can't stop. We don't have time to stop.
So James called 911.
You have an officer trying to pull you over?
Yes, and my wife won't let me stop.
Your best bet right now is to pull over and explain the situation to them.
When he did, this happened.
Wife rolled out of the car onto the ground and continued to try to tell him that my wife was having a baby.
Dana tried to help.
Maybe if I just show him that I'm pregnant and that my water had broken, my pants are wet.
More police arrived. You can hear Dana's desperation.
Sir, can I get a moment now?
Then the officers started taunting James.
You're going to be in the Lake County Jail when your kid's born.
They even talked about destroying the dash cam video.
I'll give you the video.
Oh, I don't care about that.
They were delayed for 20 minutes until an ambulance finally arrived to take Dana to hospital. James was arrested.
It was just, what is going on here? What is wrong with these people?
While Dad was getting his mugshot taken, Mum was giving birth minutes after getting to the labor ward. The umbilical cord was wrapped around baby Abigail's neck. Doctors said she would have died if Dana had given birth on the side of the road.
Really?
Most poignant statement in the entire video. What is wrong with these people?
You know, it's generally in human nature, if you're doing something and you realize you've made a mistake, you're making a mistake, to stop and back up.
You would think.
In the police world, and you and I both experienced this, when there is just...
Double down on any mistake. Yeah,
when there is just one cop involved and he realizes he's making a mistake, oftentimes he'll do that stop and back up. But when his crew is around, everybody backs up what's going on. And they expect things to just continue in the direction they're going. So when you make a mistake and you don't stop yourself and one of your colleagues doesn't stop, you say, whoa, hold on. So a couple of things I see here. One, when he was on the phone talking to the 911 operator, that's generally not also the dispatcher who's talking to the police.
Correct.
It's usually the operator sending information to the dispatcher.
Yes, at least in big communities.
Yes. So the advice there that I would have to him is, tell them, please ask the dispatcher to inform the police what's going on. I am going to this hospital at this location. They can follow me all they want. But it, please don't consider it a pursuit. This is a medical emergency.
Right.
Or ask for a supervisor right then and there.
Yeah. It's a shame, though, that the 911 operator isn't properly trained. When you say, my wife is pregnant, she's about to give birth, that they don't say standby.
Right.
Get on the horn with the patrol unit and say, you know, I understand that you're in pursuit, but you're not actually in pursuit. You're chasing a medical emergency.
Yeah.
The citizen,
provide them an escort if you're able to. If nothing, just make sure they get there safely.
The citizen should not have to know what to tell the 911 operator. The 911 operator should be properly trained.
We can't expect anybody in any profession to know their job anymore, Dave, because you know people are just unaccountable at all accounts. Yeah. The other thing that gets me is when the cops said something about turning off and destroying the video.
Yeah.
Now, that right there is very interesting because what he did was he articulated his intent to tamper with evidence in a case.
Right. If there was a claim of wrongdoing, he was going to make sure the evidence was destroyed.
So any attorney with his weight in salt who is licensed to practice law, where this guy is, would easily be able to take that case and get this guy Brady'd and out of the industry. He'd never be a cop again. Yeah. Just from that video evidence.
And the part that gets me, and this is not the first time this has happened, the officer thought that stopping this man for a traffic violation, a violation of the vehicle code, took precedence over a human life.
Oh, yeah.
And here we find out later from the statement of the doctor that if she had actually had given birth 3 minutes early, the baby would have died. 3 minutes earlier than the ambulance.
Yeah, one or two contractions early.
The baby would have died.
Right.
And there have been, a guy was taking, I think, his mother to the hospital about nine months ago. Same thing. Got pulled over. She died in the car waiting for the ambulance, and the hospital was 2 minutes up the road. I don't understand the logic that says there's some words here on white paper in this vehicle code. So now I'm going to put your life at risk because you violated black letters on white paper. I'm going to let someone die. Unbelievable.
And we've got more dash cam video related news to go into from an email that we got in the fourth segment today. So you're going to want to stick around and talk about that.
And we'll be back right after these words. We're back, and now it's time for what is up with our political system at the national level seemingly being completely broken? And by broken, I mean you and I, what we have to say doesn't really matter because the choices that we're offered are so poor. Let me give you an example. On the Democrat side, everybody understands, and it's been talked about a lot during this presidential campaign season, and the Democrats themselves, both the mucky mucks at the DNC and the average Democrat voter, are aware that the Democrats use something called superdelegates. And what that does is it provides the Democratic National Committee with basically a stranglehold on who the Democrats are going to get to vote for in the general election.
Okay.
That who the DNC chooses is who Democrats will have the option to vote for in the general election and nobody else. Okay, that system is broken. The people of the states of the union should decide which Democrats get to vote for in the general election. That's not how the system works. The DNC controls it, and of course the DNC is controlled by the people with the money. So it gets back to the concept that we've talked about on this show before, being that the United States government now functions to a great extent as an oligarchy. And that's been validated by several different research papers coming out from universities where they've done the research into what the people want based on polling data versus what the lobbyists want. And in cases, it's not total, but in the overwhelming majority of cases where the people of the United States want something different from the multi-billion dollar industries or their lobbyists, the multi-billion dollar industries get their way, not what the American people want. That's pretty much the definition of an oligarchy. Now, we switch to the Republican side. The Republicans don't do the superdelegate thing, so they don't have the RNC does not have this lock on who Republicans are going to get to vote for in the end. Nevertheless, the system is set up so, at least in my opinion, you get the dregs to vote for. If I look at the people who are still in the race, at least in a titular sense today, Ben Carson, Rubio, Cruz, and Mr. Reality TV, there's no one, and I was a registered Republican the vast majority of my life. I mean, I started out as a young man, as a teen, in the Young Republicans Club. Okay, so I come from that side of the fence, definitely not the leftist side. And I've got to tell you, I look at these four that are still in the race on the Republican side, and I find it an atrocity to the voters. And I have to see Trump, and I know this is going to make me unpopular because Trump is so wildly popular with many people in this country right now. I see it as karma on how the Republican Party has conducted its business that somebody like Donald Trump is now considered to be a great thing for the Republicans. Here's a guy who is, by my count now, advocated eight unconstitutional actions and one inarguable war crime. Now, war crimes are laid out in international law, and it's pretty clear what war crimes are. And the United States and its leaders have committed a number of war crimes in the last 13, 14 years. But there's been a lot of waffling. Well, I'm not sure that really qualifies in the minds of the people who are apologists. Well, I'm not really sure that's okay. What Donald Trump advocated was a blatant, inarguable war crime. There is no apologist on the planet who could try to even remotely make a credible case that what Donald Trump said was not a war crime. By the way, if you didn't heard it, he's saying that we need to murder the families of people that the United States government has said you're terrorists. Okay? We need to murder their babies. We need to murder their children. We need to murder their sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles and grandparents and spouses. We need to murder all those people. That's a war crime, inarguably. No question about it. Okay? So we have a gentleman who's running for president who says, let's go commit war crimes. And idiots go, he's my guy.
Yay.
It's unbelievable. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Donald Trump. I'm going to make a prediction. I don't care whether you like Donald Trump, you love Donald Trump, you think he's the biggest sphincter that's ever been in politics. I don't care what you think of Donald Trump. Here's my prediction. He is going to, if he becomes the president of the United States, he is going to render the Republican Party meaningless for the next 15 or 20 years. The reason is Donald Trump is doing reality TV masquerading as a campaign. Okay? If you listen to with a sober mind, not the rah, rah, my team, he's my guy, anything he says, let me get down on my knees and suck it. If you do it other than that, you do it like an intelligent human being. Maybe if you don't understand how government works, you're too stupid to understand how government really works according to the law and the Constitution. Maybe you believe he's going to do these things, but he's not. Virtually every single thing he said he's going to do, he's not going to do. He's not going to do it because as president, he doesn't have the authority to do it. Okay? So what we're going to have is, you know, one of the things Americans love to complain about is that politicians on the campaign trail, they'll promise you this and this and this and this, and then they get into office and they don't make good on their promises. Well, Donald Trump is going to take that to new heights. He is going to be in all of the history of American politics. He's going to reach the apex of that because he has told you that he's going to do so many things and he's not going to do any of them. And the people of the Republican Party that support him, the people who have come over, changed their registration from Democrat to Republican to support him, the people who have changed their registration from Independent to Republican to support him, they are going to be, I don't even know if I'm disappointed, because it seems Donald Trump has become so good at promoting Donald Trump that these people will probably fawn all over Donald Trump if he becomes President Trump, they will fawn all over him after he has not done anything he said on the campaign trail. Because he seems that good, or these people are so dumb, that they worship Donald Trump. So when he gets into office and he doesn't do any of the things that he has said, perhaps these people will continue to worship him. Perhaps they're that idiotic. But mark my words, he's going to damage the Republican Party in a way that nobody before him. Actually, if you were a Democrat and you want to see the Republican Party be rendered virtually meaningless for the next 10 or 15 or 20 years, switch to Republican and vote for Donald Trump. Okay? That's the way you do that. Also, his rhetoric is so bad that one of the former directors of CIA recently said, when being interviewed, he said, if Donald Trump, the president, gives orders that mirror, they're the same thing, he said on the campaign trail, U.S. military leadership is going to be forced to disobey his orders because they are required by law not to honor illegal orders, unconstitutional orders. So here's a former CIA director, not exactly the shy, retiring kind of guy who doesn't understand power and use of force, obviously just the opposite of your director of CIA, right? And he's saying the military is going to have no choice but to look at if President Trump, if he were to become that, and say, Mr. President, no. That's how insanely off base Donald Trump is. So Donald Trump happens to be the one that there's a lot to say about. But when you look on the Democratic side, Hillary, okay, equally bad. If there's been one politician I've seen in my lifetime that cares about nothing but her own aggrandizement, it's Hillary Clinton. If there's any person I've seen in politics whose main agenda is to create more power and more wealth for herself and perhaps Bill, it's Hillary Clinton. Okay? I don't think she gives a whit about any of us. There are actually videotapes out there showing her taking this position, taking the exact opposite position. Next issue, this position, then the opposite position. Stating she supports this, she doesn't support that. Endlessly, because she doesn't care. Because it's not about you. She's not trying to tell you the truth. She doesn't care about you. She doesn't care about America. She cares about Hillary Clinton. And perhaps, to some minimal extent as far as money is concerned, Bill Clinton. That's how bad our system is. That we have nothing but these horrible, atrocious options coming to us in November. So I ask you, is our political system not broken? Bill?
I would like to just comment on the former CIA director saying the military couldn't follow his illegal orders. They've been following them for a long time.
They have at times, that is correct.
I think that is one of the most empty things I've ever heard anybody say, regardless of who they're talking about.
Right.
And to say that, I mean, you ended up having a few of these military, command-level military officers with Obama in his first term saying, I'm not sure he's qualified to be commander-in-chief. I can't accept these orders.
Right.
So how did they avoid going to court on this? They just gave somebody else the order.
Yes, however, having an international warrant issued for arrest for war crimes is a different dynamic, I think.
Okay, well, the United States has taken out how many people with their drones? You just did a video on this. All of those are war crimes, especially when we had one of them against a U.S. citizen abroad. And our job, constitutionally speaking, is to protect that person, whether they're a complete anti-American POS or not. So to hear that
I don't know about protect them, but not murder them.
Yeah, okay. So you're supposed to have their interest at heart. But their rights are still extended because they're a citizen outside of these borders as much as we can in other nations. So now we're out murdering them. So to say that they're not going to follow illegal orders, I think, is completely bogus. They've been doing it for a long time. And I don't blame this on the war fighters. This is the command structure.
Yes. Yeah, and there's a significant difference these days between the command-level officers that are at the Pentagon and the individual soldier with a rifle in his hand. I don't think there's been a time when, except perhaps, you know, back in 400, 500 years ago when the commanding officers stood back and said, you men go, you know. But politically speaking, too, we have bureaucrats now. We don't have fighters. They're dressed in these gorgeous uniforms and they're covered in spaghetti on their chest and they, you know, they strut around and they exude power. But they're not warriors. They're bureaucrats.
Most of them have been in the administration wing of their particular branch for the vast majority, if not all, of their career.
Yeah. Very few of them actually have distinguished themselves as warriors. Many of them have never stepped onto the field of battle.
Very true.
All right, and we'll be back right after these words.
Welcome back. Now, it's time for my rant. You know what really grinds my gears? Rats and suckers. I don't mean actual furry rodents and lollipops. I'm talking about people. Those are descriptive terms. Rats and suckers. Recently, in my little town of Pahrump, Nevada, and when I go to Las Vegas, I'm hearing these public service announcements that go out. Smog alert. If you see a car puking out some kind of smog, get their license plate number and call us on the phone, or we've made it convenient for you to rat somebody out. Go online and let us know. So what's going to happen? Well, somebody's going to get a fine in the mailbox. Not that a cop stopped him and saw him or some other agent, but because they were reported that they had smog. So they'll be told, you need to go get a smog test done and report back to the DMV, or we're going to void your registration. So you're going to be out expensive. If you don't get a fine, you're going to be inconvenienced because someone reported it. So I tell you what, guys, if you really want to have fun with it, I think we need to end this. If you see something, say something. Rat everybody out. Screw all that. People are entitled to do what they want to do. This is just a tip of the iceberg. Now, am I excited about having polluting cars out there? No. However, I do have to say this is a piece of a much larger puzzle. Where's it going to continue? It's going to keep going on to all kinds of things. You see the slightest little thing? Here's a new special number. Here's a new special website you can go to and rat somebody else out. Well, this sounds to me like eras of the old Soviet Union, where you had better show me your papers and not be doing anything wrong. I'm not going to live in a society like that, and I'm not going to encourage you to do it either. This is what I think you ought to do. Anytime you happen to see an elected politician or someone who's an employee of the DMV, or maybe even if you see a police car or especially one of those exempt plates, it's EX in Nevada, that's an exempt government plate. Anytime you see one of those, you know what? Go ahead and shoot something in online or call that number and say, this car is a problem, especially if it is. I really don't care if it is or not. Because this is what's going to happen. Your neighbor and you don't get along about something. What's going to prevent them from sending something in on your car? Then you get this little form in the mail that says, it's been reported that your car is smogging. You are now required by DMV administrative code, not law, DMV administrative code, to go get a new smog check at your expense and send it to us within a certain amount of time, or we're suspending your registration. It might even come with a suspended registration. It might come, I don't know what happens with this, but something is going to inconvenience you. They're not going to send a human being out to your door to look at your car. No, no, no. Somebody's going to report something and they're going to send you a letter and you're going to need to respond. And if you don't do something, you will then be penalized through registration, suspension, fine, whatever, because someone called up. Now, that is not the way the legal system in this country is designed to work. Hey, I saw smoke belching out of the back of this car's tailpipe. Here's the license plate number. Great. They pull it up, they run it, they send it. You know what else we could do? Flood them with out-of-state plates. Because Nevada DMV has no authority outside of Nevada. Here's another interesting thing. It depends on where you live as to whether or not that's illegal or not. In the Las Vegas Valley, not all of Clark County, just the Las Vegas Valley. We're talking Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, Henderson. I don't even know if Boulder City is part of this. Moapa Valley is not. I don't believe Logandale is. I'm sorry, Laughlin is either. I've lived in Clark County, out in the sticks. I lived in Moapa Valley in Logandale, and I didn't have to get my car smoked because I didn't live in the valley. In Washoe County, up in the Reno-Sparks area, there's also smog. I think that's it. Just Las Vegas Valley and the Reno-Sparks Valley. I think that's the only places in Nevada, unless they've expanded it, you have to get smog. In the rural community of Pahrump out in Nye County, there's no smog anywhere in Nye County. You don't have to worry about it. So if you see a car driving down the road, belching it out, or even if it's in Vegas, but they live out here, this is where the car's registered, doesn't make any difference at all. So I would say if they're going to put this thing into use, start calling, texting, emailing, filling out online, whatever these are, on vehicles that are obviously not from the Clark County Valley and likely, like, again, some sort of a government vehicle, a police car, something like that. Just make this an absolute failure for the state of Nevada, because they're going to try to get this in micro steps, baby steps, every place that they can. It goes back to the old saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Dave, what do you think about this rat-on-rat sort of affair that the government's trying to get us involved in?
Well, I'm old enough to remember when the American public used to point to the Soviet Union with all of their internal snitches and say, that's what's wrong with communism, and that would never happen in America.
It's been implemented since when?
The income tax.
I mean, really, 9/11 is when, post-9/11 is when all of this see something, say something really started to get a huge push.
Well, I would argue that when people send in W-4s and 1099s on other people they pay, I mean, the Soviet Union, the KGB could have only dreamed of such snitching.
Well, you have to realize, more than 99.9% of the American population doesn't know that. They don't understand that they're doing that snitch.
No. By the
way, this is totally different.
Yeah, it is. But let me pimp my book for a second, okay? Because it's tax season.
Pimp away, Fedora
and,
man.
And we just talked about the W-4s and the 1099s and the fact that the vast majority of cases nobody has
to.
Nice way
to wedge that in.
In fact, nobody. Thank you. No, we were totally unprepared. That was completely impromptu. But if you go to www.incometaxtruth.com. That's the site you go to purchase the book. This is a great time of year to do it because we're facing April 15th, of course. And
the tax terrorist season.
U.S. annual government tax terrorism season. So if you'd like to find out the truth, go to that website and purchase a copy of the book. I give you my word that it will be one of the most eye-opening experiences of your life. And back to Bill's topic.
I will actually caveat on that and say you're right. I was privileged to see chapters as you wrote them forwarded out. I was one of the few on the list to get that, and I have an original hardback autographed copy, all that good stuff. Yeah.
I had a crew of people who volunteered to read it for ease of read, understanding, and proofreading and so forth, and Bill was one of those people.
Yeah.
Thank you
again. So good stuff. And I am actually the reason that you finally got that book done when you did. Do you recall this?
No.
Yeah, you used to talk about wanting to write the book all the time, talk about chapters, and I said, Dave, you're the most scheduled guy I know, and you are never going to write this book unless you put a schedule down to where you're going to get it done. And within about 4 weeks, you started taking Mondays off to write the book.
That's right. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. You know, and the funny thing was, you gave me that push at exactly the right time because, you know, I'd been pondering this book. You know, I had this gigantic outline in my brain for years, right? And but I kept researching. I kept drilling down till the smallest little detail. I had that. I mean, things that people go, Dave, that's irrelevant. No, it's not. And I got down until I researched the tiniest little detail of this entire massive picture, 17 years of work, right? And then right at the point where I was like, there is absolutely no detail, no matter how small, that is not fully understood at this point. That's when you were like, Dude,
write the book.
Right.
Yeah, so, write the book.
Great timing.
Okay, so back onto this idea of see something, say something. In this case, it's snitching out cars that belch smog.
Yeah.
I truly...
Or whatever Department of Homeland Security wants you to snitch people off.
This is Department of Motor Vehicles. So, I mean, how out of line is this? They say that driving is a privilege, not a right. In fact, I think they actually have that wrong. And vehicle registration is not necessarily a right or privilege. It's just something that they make you do.
Right. And I can tell you from, again, my legal research, if you go back to the early 1900s in the vehicle registration laws, the justification given by the politicians who sponsored the legislation in the legislatures was so that, because remember, you had like the Model A, everything looked, or Model T, everything looked the same, right? Mm-hmm. Black thing going down making a lot of noise. So they wanted plates on there, so if you were drunk and you ran down somebody's fence or you scared the horses, people don't seem to understand cars and horses used to exist on the same roads back then. Mm-hmm. If you scared the horses, somebody, all these black cars that looked identical.
It's an identifying
plate. And you used to cover yourself because of the dust when you drove them, right? There was an identifying plate. It wasn't to get your money, and they only charged you a couple pennies, whatever it cost back in the day.
To create a plate.
To cover the cost. The administrative cost of providing you with a plate.
And that was a one-time plate.
It was, yes. Yeah.
So,
slippery slope. This illustrates the slippery slope.
It absolutely does. It certainly does. So the idea that I have is to bombard these phone calls and this website, figure out whatever it is, you know, see something, say something, because I'm a total rat.org. Might be, I don't know. Inundate them with information, especially, again, hit it on, like, go to the DMV parking lot a couple of times and see the cars are, oh, that must be an employee's,
you know. Right.
Yeah, and make them feel the pain.
Get binoculars, you know, look in the back parking lot where they park.
Call in a car for a cop or a county commissioner or somebody that's an employee driving an exempt plated car and call those in regularly.
Right.
Regularly. Just inundate the system. So, like, yeah, this is kind of a failure. People are screwing with us.
Yeah, break it down.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, burn it down with misinformation. That's all I have to say about it.
You know,
because if they say, oh, you're illegally reporting, hey, I have no legal requirement to have to do anything because you have no legal justification to be able to require somebody to do something based on an unfounded statement that somebody made on the phone or by sending in an email. They cannot force you into something based on an unproven allegation.
Right. And, of course, the other thing is, you know, somebody says you made a false allegation. It was blown smoke when I saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. As a matter of fact, this whole commercial you got's blowing smoke through my car stereo speakers when I hear it.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I guess you're hearing that on like the public radio?
Yeah. You know, regular radio stations.
Okay. Because I run an iPod almost exclusively in my truck, you know, and I listen to music that I enjoy.
Oh.
I mean, I haven't,
pardon me.
I haven't turned on radio news or a regular radio station in, I couldn't even remember.
I'm turning into to my father and his friends when I was younger. I seem to listen more to talk radio now than I do anything else.
Oh, okay.
I do listen to our local country station, which is part of the TV station. That's
sure.
Pretty decent. But it's interesting, when the sun goes down, we actually pick up from L.A., KNX 1070 News Radio.
And KFI, I believe.
You do, yes.
Yeah.
And I listen to KNX pretty regularly at night when I'm driving
which
around.
Which is a news station.
Yeah, they have regular news 24 hours. There's no talk, there's no programs, there's none of totally unprepared type shows
right.
on there. So I can get real live news. I get L.A. traffic, you know, whatever, but
yeah.
Good stuff all around. All right, guys, stick around. We're going to be back in segment 4 to go over some of your emails. Welcome back to segment 4. This is where we go through your viewer emails, as long as they're good and appropriate to the show, right? I mean, they got to pass some kind of scrutiny, and
I
guess
right.
They got to pass ours. Those are always sent to us right here at DaveAndBillShow@gmail.com. Keep them coming in, even if it's just, hey, guys, love the show. Hey, guys, that show sucked. I want to see something else. Or here's some information. Why don't you talk about this, that, or the other? You can also go online and see all of our shows. I'm actually 2 shows behind on posting this.
Oh.
I will admit that. It's been a little busy in Bill's world. Totallyunprepared.info. Go there, check out all the old shows. They're not just video, but you can also just click on the audio. If you're fancy schmancy like Dave and only listen to an iPod, you can hear the audio as you're driving down the road.
Okay.
Or working out. Whatever you're doing. I started working out recently.
You did?
Yeah. You know, I moved, I don't know, what, 4 or 5 months ago.
12-ounce curls?
Yeah. They're 16s, baby.
That's
no, they're
right. 40s.
40,
yeah.
No, there's a gym actually at the house that's kind of off the garage there.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so I've actually been, I got up this morning, I did a couple miles on the bike, I did a couple miles on the treadmill, I did a little bit of stretching and stuff. And this is the 3rd time I've worked out in the last week or so.
You know what I've been doing? I do cardio at home. Mm-hmm. I've got a recumbent bike at the house. And what I've been doing to extend my cardio is if I've got any business calls to make where I'm talking to people who are also friends, I'll make those calls during cardio. And then we'll start hammering out the issues and talking about things. And pretty soon my cardio time.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of my good friends, you know him. He lives down in San Diego now.
Yes.
He was on his elliptical machine and ended up doing like, 5 miles when he was, his goal was 3.5 or something. Interesting enough, that's actually one machine that I'm trying to get my hands on is to try to find like a quality used elliptical. I really like those.
Yes.
Cause, and I want to get one of the longer ones that's really well balanced because, I mean, I can fall off of those things. I'm a little bit fat. But, you know, I don't like the impact of running so much.
Right. Well, we're not spring chicken anymore.
No.
And one of the things I like to do, if I talked about the phone calls, that elongates my time. But I have a fixed time I normally do cardio, and I watch documentaries. I drag that recumbent bike right in front of the big screen TV, and I Netflix up, and I get on some documentary I think is going to be interesting. So I actually, because it's not the physical part of cardio. There's any cardio you want to imagine, I can go out and do it physically, and it's the
boredom aspect.
It's the mental part.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm with you.
So by watching the documentaries, then I'm not bored. And I'm using that productively. I'm learning.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah. Two birds, one stone. So
speaking of the opposite of learning.
We teased this at the end of segment one about a department in, I forget where.
Yeah, neither do I.
But they lost a lawsuit based on officer conduct that came from dash cam video.
Right.
So the cops screwed up.
Yep.
Dash cam video shows they screwed up, and the department lost the lawsuit.
Yep.
So what was it the chief of police or the sheriff, whoever
chief,
it was,
chief of police,
chief of police decided to
remove all the dash cams?
I'm horrified at this. Okay, look, let's use this as a learning experience, what not to do.
Right.
The learning moment, what not to do, guys. Keep it straight. We have the dash cam videos to protect us and to protect them. Do it right.
Yeah.
Now it's like, well, if we're going to lose cases for not doing it right, I'm not going to retrain my guy. Take out the dash cams.
Right. I'm not going to hold my officers accountable for misconduct. I'm going to now hide the misconduct from the public by taking away the evidence of the officer's misconduct.
So if this were a sheriff, I would encourage everybody to replace that sheriff immediately.
Yeah.
Maybe even through a special election recall. If it is a police chief, police chiefs work for mayors and city councils, and I would encourage you to go to those elected people and pressure the ever-living hell out of them to get rid of this guy and get the dash cams back in, because they're the ones who are going to be the victims.
Yeah, and to me, this is the law enforcement equivalent of having a misbehaving child, and when the child has misbehaved, you walk over and high-five the kid.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wait, you're giving a wink and a nod to the poor conduct, the misconduct, by letting him know, hey, man, no one's going to know about it now.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to clear you on it. This is obviously this administrator, whoever he is, it's obviously a case where they've come up through the ranks, and it is, you know, we all bleed blue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right.
Which is the industry problem. When you have people that can affect positive change and can affect police corruption being dissipated by putting in the proper policies, the proper training, and the proper incentives to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the exact opposite happen. This is a perfect example of somebody who has no business being in the industry whatsoever.
Exactly.
None.
On a somewhat related topic, when we're talking about filming cops, this bizarre decision out of the United States District Court for Pennsylvania, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
A couple people are standing there filming cops in a public location out in the open, right? And the cops arrested them. And now, most everybody who's watched this show understands that virtually every single court that has ever looked at this issue has said, you have a right to film police out in the public domain.
Yep.
Okay. Now, course may vary a little bit on like when you get into private residences and private business things, but out in the public domain, there's never been a question. The decisions have been virtually universal. And so now this federal judge comes up with the most
insane,
bizarre, arcane logic. Okay, he says that it's not First Amendment protected activity because they didn't voice that there was some sort of, they objected in some way to the conduct. So now what the judge is saying is, if I see a cop beating the pejeezers out of somebody illegally. And I'm doing this, okay, I can be arrested for gathering the evidence of the crime. Okay? However, if I say, I object to your the politics of what you're doing.
You have to articulate it.
Yeah.
And bring attention to yourself.
Suddenly now, I'm immune from arrest.
What about if
who puts these judges on the bench?
What about if you are a shop owner and you've got video cameras that are outside of your business? Maybe it's a, I don't know, a service station.
Yeah.
Well, there's no service station. It's a stab and grab, if you will, a convenience store. And your surveillance camera catches this. And you don't have a sign up that says, hey, if you happen to be a cop and you happen to violate the law, this might pick you up.
Right.
Then what?
Right.
Is that guy going to get sued or arrested or something?
Or how about some of these businesses, what they do is they have cameras like, say, clothing stores and whatnot that have glass along the street.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have the cameras facing out, so if somebody breaks the glass,
they can see.
They've got it on tape, right? So if a cop is whooping the hell out of somebody unjustly, illegally, right out in front of the glass, they can go in and arrest the store owner?
So what we end up having here, Dave, is a judge who wanted to make a ruling, this is as I see it, a judge who wanted to make a ruling and then had to find a way to justify that ruling.
Right, what we call outcome-based law.
Yes.
Yes. And, you know, I think really this illustrates why we can't rely on, we should never say in the Bill of Rights, this is protected, that's protected, the other is protected, because we've devolved now, logically, our rationale has devolved to, oh, wait a second, is what I did protected under one of these enumerated things, which is like this long? Okay.
And we're supposed one page. The Bill of Rights is one page.
Right. But, I mean, if you take a look at, like, the First Amendment, I mean, literally, if we had it on a piece of paper in front of us, it's like this big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we point to this little thing and say, wait, I'm protected. Okay. But that's completely bass-ackwards. Okay? The theory should be, that was not a curse word, the theory should be, I'm entitled as a free American to do anything I want, whenever I want, unless or until I'm infringing on the equal rights of others.
You just defined liberty.
Correct.
Which is what this nation is based on. What's that big green statue lady in New York Harbor called?
Yeah.
Statue of Liberty. Yeah.
Well, you know, for instance, they have said, the courts have ruled, that you cannot offend the state. Yeah?
Right. Yeah, like a police officer while on duty cannot be the victim of disturbing the peace.
Correct. Because he's legally speaking, he's a robot of the state.
Right.
Okay. So if you were to scream at him, yell at him, whatever, in a way that does not interfere with his official duties, there's nothing he can do about that. If you call him names, there's nothing he can do about that. If you flip him off, there's nothing you can do about
that. Now, we're talking about in a legal sense. In a physical sense, they're going to be jackasses and do something nine times
out of ten. Right. Well, then you can sue the hell out of them. But the courts have said, universally, you cannot offend the state. Okay. Well, then, if we go back to this judge's decision, if you cannot offend the state, you're not intruding on their rights, because as they're doing whatever it is they're doing in the public space, they are these robots, these enforcement robots of the state. They have no rights insofar as their duties are concerned. So if you're filming them, you can't be offending the state. You can't be violating that officer's rights, because he's not a private person at that moment. He is a robot of the state as far as the law is concerned. So the judge's decision is actually completely contradictory to the vast body of law that exists concerning the ability to offend the state.
I would argue that the attorney who lost this case was not worth his weight in salt or her weight in salt.
The only reason I might cut the attorney a little bit of slack is, having been in the federal courts myself, I understand that there are federal judges that are completely irrational. You're well familiar with my case, mm-hmm. Where I was in a civil matter. I've had this frequently. People try to miscast this as that I had some sort of criminal beef with the government. I never did, ever, ever. But where I was in court civilly with the United States government, and I had nothing to hide, but it is
embarrassing them on top of that.
Oh yeah, making fools of them, yeah. But even though I had nothing to hide, there are certain information you simply would not want to divulge to the United States government because they're going to try and make hay out of it. And mm-hmm. So you just, right. So I claimed my protection under the Fifth Amendment, not to give
self-incriminate.
That,
yeah.
Well, I don't like not self-incriminate because that's really not what I was doing. But
okay.
Nevertheless, I have the right to remain silent. Okay. And so I invoked that right. And I had a federal judge look down at me right from his bench and say, if you take the Fifth Amendment in my courtroom, you're going to jail. So
the one guy that the one profession where your job is to uphold those sorts of rights and stop the government from doing that kind of thing.
Right. And of course, the
that's someone who obviously is there representing the government.
The punchline is I did go to jail because I was so appalled. I stood up. My chair went flying. You know, these big marble club things where it's so loud. And I said, I can't say it. I'll get beeped out. But I went to jail for contempt for what I said to the judge, which starts with an F.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week.
Take care.